Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. Can $20 actually make a difference in your world? My guest today believes it can. Christina Ulmer is a teacher at Hatboro Horsham High School. Oh my gosh, that's a mouthful. In Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, who created the $20 Kindness Challenge for her students. Her story is beautiful, and I know you'll be inspired as you listen. So welcome to the podcast, Christina Ulmer.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are at the end of a week, at the end of your school day. We see you in your classroom. Thank you for taking time out and squeezing this in there. Really, really appreciate that.
Oh, of course. Definitely. I'm always like, willing to talk to anybody that I can share my story and the story of my students.
Well, let's get into that because it's so beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
When I heard about the $20 Kindness Challenge, I was so intrigued. So can you start by just telling us what motivated you to do this? Like, what's the story behind the $20 Kindness Challenge?
So the challenge started because if I go back before I actually started the project, in 2014, my sister, my only sibling, passed away in a car accident. And when my family and I went to the car accident scene, we didn't know that she had died. And we got there and the police officer told us, you know, what had happened. And the first thing I thought was I needed something tangible to touch of hers because I knew like I was never going to see her again. And so I asked one of the police officers there if she would mind climbing into my sister's car and if she could gather my sister's belongings. Because I assumed they would take the car away and, you know, we wouldn't be able to get any of her things. So she kindly did that. And I got her purse and, you know, her phone and her wallet and all that stuff. And I went home and I was going through her things. And in her wallet, she had a wad of cash. She was a waitress on the side as a second job. And it was actually a job that I got for her when I first started teaching. And we both worked together in this like small mom and pop's restaurant near us. And then I became a teacher and I didn't need a second job anymore. My sister stayed on and she worked there for a very long time and had customers who really loved her and would come Sunday mornings at breakfast and just to request her. And so I had this wad of the tip money that she had earned waitressing and I didn't know what to do with it. So it wasn't that much money. At first, I thought maybe I'd use it to buy my kids something because they just lost their aunt. And then, you know, we're blessed. Like, we have everything we need. So then I thought, no, I don't want to do something like that with it. So then I thought, I knew I wanted to do something to help people or something like that with it because my sister was always concerned with people who were struggling or didn't have as much as we had. Like, growing up, we would hear stories of people who were dealing with things. Our parents were always very charitable and kept us educated about things that were happening in the world. And she was always very, like, more concerned than a normal kid. Like, she would get upset by things that she read or she heard or watched. And when she grew up and became an adult, she volunteered at a local food bank. And she knew she wanted to do something with her life, helping people. And she inevitably, right before she passed away, decided she wanted to be an EMT and eventually a paramedic. And she went and put herself through school and was looking for jobs on an ambulance when she died. So I knew I wanted to do something with the money to help people or just put some good into the world because she was no longer here. So I took the purse and the wallet and I put it in this cabinet in my living room. And then it sat there and every once in a while I'd think about it. And it just kind of would like talk to me in the back of my brain. And 4 years later, in the fall of 2018, I'm an English teacher. I teach high school English, mostly ninth grade. And at the time, we were reading a book called Fahrenheit 451. And it's a dystopian novel. It's at this point, 70 years old. But in the book, in the world of the book, everybody is addicted to their screens. they have more connection to the people in their screens than the people in their own lives. They, in fact, call the people in their screens their family. And they are all depressed and anxious. They take pills to help go to sleep because they struggle to go to sleep at night. It just seems very angry. Everyone's disconnected from each other. And I, you know, sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
And Ray Bradbury could see what was happening. And I had this particularly amazing group of students in front of me. And I thought I could do something with the money and kind of with the lesson I was trying to teach through the book about how we should all remain connected to each other and do something with the money with that. So I don't know where I got the idea from. It just popped in my brain one day, and I decided I was going to take my sister's money, and I went to the bank and I exchanged it for $20 bills. And then I came to school and I gave each of my students $20. And I told them the story of my sister, and I told them I wanted them to do an act of kindness with it. So they did. First of all, they looked at me like I was like crazy. teachers don't usually give their students money.
Yeah, yeah.
But they took it very seriously. And so they all brainstormed different things they could do, and they ended up doing their different acts of kindness. And my only stipulation was that they record a little reflection explaining what they did and they learned anything and what they got out of it. And so I compiled all those little reflections into a video just to show all the students so we could see what each other did. And that was going to be it. It was like a one-time thing just to use my sister's money and honor her memory and put some good out into the world in place of what she would have done when she was here. So, and then we have semesters at my school. So the fall semester ended, spring semester started. And then I got an email from someone saying they had heard, I guess, through the grapevine of the students sharing what we had done, and they wanted to write a check for me to do with my next set of students.
Wow.
And so I was able to offer it to the next set of students, and that has just continued that way. I've gotten donations every semester that have allowed me to continue it with every semester since. So we've now done, I've done it 14 times. And this year this semester we should be past $8,000 worth of acts of kindness. It's cool. It's just grown into this big thing now, where now students come up from the middle school and they immediately ask me like, "Oh, you're the kindness challenge teacher, right? Are we going to do that?" I said, "Yep, we're going to do it. We have donations. We're able to do
this." That's amazing. Yep. I love that you're known for that in your district and that kids look forward to being able to participate in that. That's amazing. What are some of the most memorable acts of kindness that your students have done?
So it's funny. I kind of have like these categories that are my favorite. So I love the ones where kids will use their skills or like their talents. So I had one student one time, she crocheted these little hats for babies in the NICU who have heart conditions. She discovered that the American Heart Association wants people to knit red hats so that when a baby has a heart condition, Nikki, you can like clearly look out and say, "Oh, red heart condition."
Oh, wow.
So she knitted all these beautiful little these tiny little hats. I had a student who found an organization that collects fun pillowcases for children who are battling cancer and are in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so that way they don't have to like sleep on the sterile white sheets and pillowcases. So she knew how to sew. So she found a bunch of fun fabric and sewed all these little pillowcases. So I love those kinds of ones where kids just were able to use their skills for the act of kindness. And then I also love the ones where some of my students will just, they seek out, they want to learn what's going on in the world. It kind of opens their eyes to some of the ways that people are struggling that they weren't necessarily aware of. So, for example, I had a student a few years ago who decided she wanted to donate to a local women's shelter. And at first, she made assumptions about what they would need, but she called the shelter and she asked, like, "What do you need?" And the woman on the phone told her, "Actually, we really need pads, tampons, like those types of things. People don't tend to donate those. And obviously, women need those." And this 14-year-old student of mine, she was so upset by the thought that women were struggling for something so basic. And when she was reflecting about what she did, she told me how surprised she was and just made her so upset. And she thought, women shouldn't be struggling for something so basic. And so I like, ones like that where students maybe do some research. And I had a student who had read an article in our local newspaper about someone who lived in our town that was homeless and had set up a tent in the on the street, and she didn't have anywhere to live, and it really bothered him. And he didn't like the way that she was being portrayed in the article. He told me that he felt that the way it was written, it looked like she was being discarded. And so he decided he was going to make a basket of essential items for her. And he went out and purchased those things and brought them to the woman and actually had a conversation with her about you know, why she was there and what was her circumstances. And it really kind of opened his eyes to what she was going through. And then I like the ones where students do things that are kind of random. And so I had a student the very first time we did this challenge, she decided to, she went with her family to go visit her uncle in a different state. And she was thinking I just want to do something that just brings joy to people. And so they brought $20 worth of donuts and they stood in a street corner and just passed out donuts to people. And then I had another student who bought $20 worth of flowers. And then she walked around town and just gave out flowers to people and just to give them a smile. And so I like those ones too, where, you know, they just want to do something random, because those are the things that I think people don't think about. You know, it doesn't take a lot to just do something small. Lot of the students think about how when they reflect on it, they're what if that person was having a bad day? And then I gave them a dollar, literally a flower that costs a dollar, and it's just something small. It didn't cost much. And then now that person, their day has been made better and maybe they're in a better mood. Yeah. And it kind of affects the rest of their day and how they their outlook on the rest of the day. So those ones are always cool to me, too.
That's amazing. Kids are so creative. I love hearing all these different, sure you have lists of, of all their creative ways that they were showing kindness. That's amazing. I'm sure that in those reflections, when you get those back, you're seeing that they're learning bigger lessons in this project. Yep. So how have you seen your students grow? What are some of the bigger lessons that they're learning?
So obviously they're learning about empathy. We talk about how, the world can be incredibly scary and seem very, especially right now, very angry. And we talk a lot about that in class of, what you see in the media, how it's not always reality. You're always seeing people yelling at each other and they seem like they hate each other. And so I believe, and especially since this all started from us reading a book, the way we prevent ourselves from becoming like the book, which it kind of seems like we're moving that way, is remaining connected to each other. And so a lot of the students, notice that it's just small things they can do for strangers. A lot of the kids will do things for people in their neighborhoods or in their communities. They'll notice that a neighbor, has maybe been struggling with something, and then they do something kind for that, for that neighbor. And so we talk about that, how it's just little things, and the students start to realize that they start paying attention to the world around them and they start considering ways that they can, maybe do something small for someone to make them feel better. And I also think that it makes them really aware that people in their lives might be going through things that they haven't been aware of. And then I also think that they notice a lot of them talk about how it makes them feel. They are very surprised how good they felt after doing the act of kindness. That seems to be the most common thing they reflect on is that feeling they get. And I talk about how that's kind of addicting. Think you're going through something and you might be struggling with something, but then it actually makes you feel so much better just to do something for someone else. And actually it makes you not focus on what you're going through at the moment and takes you... Yep. Right. And so a lot of them start to see that because they're teenagers, and teenagers can be sometimes a little, their world is small. And so it allows them to see outside of themselves a little bit. And I've had students who now have, I always offer this to the students that I'm currently teaching, but now I have students who come back after I've taught them and they request to do it again. And they say it's because it just felt so good when I did those things and I want to keep doing it. So that's really cool to see that the kids kind of get addicted to that feeling of doing good.
Yeah, and they can learn, this is in my control. This feeling that I am enjoying, I can continue having this feeling.
Exactly.
I hear so much from these stories. I hear awareness of humanity, like that those students' eyes are being opened to the real people in their lives. And I think awareness is like the first step. When our eyes can be opened to people around us and our world starts getting a little bit bigger than just yes. me, then we start to realize, oh my gosh, I can do something about this. I didn't know they were hurting. I didn't know they were in need. That's so beautiful. So Christina, the people that listen to this podcast, they want to make a difference in their world. And, when we think about making a difference in the world, oftentimes there are these grand mm-hmm. gestures, and that feels overwhelming, right?
It does.
Like who of us can really change the world? But for listeners that want to make a difference in their world, what encouragement would you give us?
I would say start small. In fact, it can always be small to me. I don't think you ever need to do we should do the grand gesture sometimes. That's needed. But for most of us, I think it's the small things. And it's being really aware of the people around you. Like, do you notice, hey, I haven't noticed my neighbor come out of their house for a while. Like, what's going on there? Or even just when we're out and we're around strangers, like understanding that there might be people going through some things. One of my students last semester bought a bouquet of flowers and she just went into a random hair salon and gave it to one of the stylists. And the stylist posted on a social media, like a local group, saying, I don't know who these kids were that came in and gave me the bouquet mm-hmm. of flowers, but they had no idea I was having the worst day. And that just changed everything. So, and that allowed my students to see that. So I think for people out there listening, it's just the small things that you don't really, I tell my students, I'm giving them $20, but they don't even have to spend money, right? Hold the door open for someone, say thank you, be kind to people. Because I think that it's very easy to be online behind a keyboard, behind, a screen, and you don't see the person's face and you're, mm-hmm. Typing away and you're saying angry things and you don't, you're not really feeling the impact of that. But what you can feel the impact of is the day-to-day interactions when you look someone in the face and you see them smile and, you can just be kind to them, just even the things that are free,
Yeah. Yeah. Christina, what do you think your sister would love most about this?
I think one of my coworkers said the other day, we were talking about my sister and she said, can you just imagine like her right now, just like looking at all the things your students have done? And I think she would just be like, it's so funny. Like I could actually see her here doing the things with my students, right? Which doesn't mm-hmm. make sense because they're doing it because of my sister having passed away, but I could just see her like, oh, what could we do? And like, tell me about what your students have done. Like, she would just be so into it. And because she was also one of those people that believe like there are horrible things going on in our world, but we have control over the small things that we can do day to day. And just being sympathetic and empathetic to what people are going through and just listening to people, right? Like, she was always about that. So I think she would just be really proud of all the different acts of kindness that my students have done.
That's beautiful. What was her name?
Katie.
Katie. That's beautiful. All right, Christina, if listeners want to be part of the $20 kindness challenge, maybe support you and your students in that, or just learn more about it online, where do they find you?
So we do have a website. So it's $20kindnesschallenge.org. So it's like 20, like the number, and then spelled out dollar, kindnesschallenge.org. You can go there. There's a list of all the things my students have done. There's links to the videos because I do make a video every semester where they share their reflections. And then there's a spot you can donate because that's how we've been able to do this all this year, just is through donations. It's really amazing. And then my ultimate goal now is that this past year, a lot of teachers from around the country have reached out to me about how they could do this in their classroom. So my ultimate goal is I'm starting a foundation. I'm in the process of doing that, where I can grant other teachers money to do this with their students, because that's the money.
That's
the
awesome.
Money part's difficult, right? Like, it's like, you know, 20 times however many students you have, it can take a lot. But I do think it would be cool for, you know, I've already had some teachers reach out that they've gotten businesses to donate to them. They've done it with their students. So if I could support other teachers, that would be amazing.
That's such a good idea. I love that you're scaling that. Yeah. I love it. And I have a donation coming for you today,
because
love what you're doing. I'm a mom of three, one preteen, two teens, and any chance that other people can be echoing the same things that I am saying as their mom. I mean, you know, it takes a village to raise kids, and just thank you for being that kind of person. We need more people like you who are helping us to open our eyes to those around us, to grow in empathy and kindness. So thank you for being that kind of influencer on this next generation, so that they can learn that they can be a part of human kindness at work in their world. Thanks for being that kind of teacher.
Of course. And you know what? You mentioned your kids. I have a teenager and a preteen. Get your kids involved, right? And like, model it for them. I think that's really important for them to grow up seeing adults modeling this behavior and getting them to participate in it too. So it's easy, right? Just small little things. Yeah. I think we can, you know, grow this into the next generation, maybe not always, you know, expressing their anger online, and maybe expressing their kindness online more often.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be amazing.
Oh. Well, thank you for sharing your story and for making time for us today. We will let you get on with your weekend and enjoy your much deserved rest.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Take care, Christina.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. It's a great way to help others discover the podcast and be inspired to make a difference right where they are. Until next time, keep an eye out for human kindness at work in your world. Whether it's big or small, it all matters. See you next time.